Hello and welcome back to another episode of Every Time. United We Stand, Divided We Podcast. I'm Robert from the U.S. and our co-host Lionel from Canada. Shits and giggles.
Okay. United We Stand, Divided We Podcast. It's, you know what? We're coming out of winter. We're going into spring. We didn't have much of a winter here. You probably didn't have much of one there, but the weather's all weird. Weeks down, lots of rain in the next couple of days. And I did a lot of traveling to check out the eclipse, and had to shoot everything with my Pixel 8 Pro. So it's not like they're going to look like pro pictures or anything, but they turn out okay. Considering there was cloud cover and it barely peeked through, there was still clouds covering it, but it was enough to actually see. So I had a good time. I went down to Niagara Falls, actually. I was trying to go to Fort Erie, across from Buffalo. But they had decided to close almost every street in the city because they didn't want anybody looking at anything. I'm exaggerating. I'm never going to Fort Erie again. I'll say that publicly. Unless I have to travel through it to go to Buffalo or something. But I'll probably just go through Niagara Falls instead. Yeah. Take the more scenic route. Anyways, Let's get into the
Well, thing. Ironically, my area actually had like, I guess, 80%, but it was literally dark clouds all day because it was raining. So, I mean, I don't know.
That sucks. Yeah. That sucks. Okay. So, sorry, I got to put on the old man face again and have a look here.
Did you hear about those people that decided to pay $1,500 to take a Delta flight from, was it Houston or Dallas to Detroit or something to see the eclipse? But like, they didn't even hardly see any of the eclipse because, of course, it's above them. You know, the plane can't turn sideways. So they're like paid $1,500 and they were
intending to watch it from the air.
Yes.
Well, that's just foolhardy. Unless you're the pilot and you have permission to turn the plane a certain way, you're not going to see it. That makes absolutely no sense.
They said, oh, we got to see the dark cloud moving on the ground. I'm like, okay. I see that all the time when the clouds go over.
I'm not going to spend
$1,500 to take a plane ride for something I can't see. It's ridiculous.
I just had a bug fly past me. What? One warm day and a bug got into my house. Okay. Anywho, apparently Google searches for eye damage jump in Ontario clinic seeing patients after eclipse. Now, without even going into that article specifically, there's probably dozens of those all over North America. People, you know, I've actually talked to a few people who were actually concerned. Oh, I looked at it. Am I going to go blind? I said, you don't understand. You probably glanced at the sun 1,000 times in your life. It happens. The problem is that if you think it doesn't hurt because you're only seeing a sliver of light is when it's doing damage. Normally you're looking at it, it's bright. It hurts your eyes. So you stop looking at it and the damage doesn't get done.
Right.
So if you really only glanced at it for a second and a half, you're probably just fine. It was so much cloud cover for ours, even when it did clear a little bit, it was never fully cleared. So
yeah,
it was partially filtered out by all that tons of water it was going through in the first place. So I didn't even have the filter on my phone. No filter. Picture was fine. But that said, the Google searches for eye damage gets me a little bit.
I saw that. No one obviously listened to our podcast last week. I mean, if they would have listened to our podcast, they would have known.
You know what? They could listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of watched a lot of TV shows and stuff. But apparently the not quite official count, but official estimate out of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, was nowhere near a million. They said it was like 260 or 70,000. I can't remember the exact number, but it was well over 200,000 in one day that came just for the event. It's a lot of people for a city that is only a city of 50 some odd thousand. or 70,000, something like that. 50 or 70,000 wow. people. And they got like 200 and some thousand. Now, they say that's a record. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know that they actually have a really accurate way of estimating. It's not like estimating how many people show up to Macy's parade. You could literally have somebody do rudimentary head counts on every second block for 10 blocks and then average that out over the course of the entire parade route. And you would get a probably 85 to 95% accuracy count, right? And then you could estimate from there. But how do you estimate how many people show up at Niagara Falls? Are you going by the people that were at the falls? Or did you count people like me that were still in the city of Niagara Falls, but were way the hell away from the falls?
Right.
They didn't know we were there. They never knew we were there. There were other people that went there. They didn't buy hotel or buy. They didn't rent a hotel or hire a hotel. They didn't take public transit. They went in somebody else's car. Nobody asked how many people you have in your car. It doesn't make any sense to me. I honestly believe that there probably wasn't more than 300,000 people at the absolute most that didn't already live there. But to put this into perspective, I know for a fact they have more than 15 or 20,000 people on a summer day there, because just at the falls alone, you have to wade through over 500 people just to get close to the water. So to see the falls yourself, if you walk from a certain angle, it takes forever. You're like, I can't get near it. And you finally do. And you got to wait your turn to get close to the fencing or whatever. It's a stone wall, actually. And you could easily count 300 people just in one section alone. Well over 500 if you go the entire stretch where you can still see all of the falls. And that's just on the Canadian side. I imagine you probably, get several hundred or at least a few hundred on the American side at the same time on a good day too.
I'd imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way that you say that if you have that, and then you've got a bunch of the people that go to Marine Land, well, hopefully not anymore, cause that place needs to be shut down. That's another story. Various other things. There's the tourist area that they have, and there's just restaurants and arcades and theme museums and stuff like that, and people go there and they'll spend hours and hours and hours there. They'll go to the falls for half an hour, take pictures, and then go over to the family area with the kids and enjoy like 2 days. And then of course you got the casinos. How many people go into the casino and you never knew that they were even in the city? It's just like Las Vegas. You go in there, you don't have to give them your name to get money or to give them your money. So, well, technically in the States, I guess you do have to, if you take money, you do have to give you, because you have to pay taxes on it there.
I'm not a gambler, so I don't, I've not been to Vegas.
But there's been Canadians who've been hit with a tax. Like they'll win, $75,000 and U.S. government takes like 30,000 of it or something like that, or maybe half. I'm not sure what it is. It's a large amount, and they have to actually come back to Canada, go to court, and fight to get their money back, because they don't, like, why am I paying you taxes? I gave money. They gave it back to me. What am I owing you the taxes for? I don't have any infrastructure. I don't live here. And 99% of the time they win. But that's another story altogether. Basically, in Canada, we don't pay taxes on any form of lottery, which includes gambling. So if you win $1 million, you get to keep the whole million, period.
Oh, yeah.
Pay taxes on interest. What's that?
Now you said, yeah, not here.
Yeah, no, not there. But here, yes. But you know what? How many people win $1 million? So we don't have an advantage, really. Anyways.
Yeah, there was somebody who just claimed the single winning ticket for the $1.2 billion Powerball ticket in Oregon.
Did you say $1.2 billion?
Billion with a B.
I remember when I was young and I thought, can they possibly have a lottery where a guy wins $300 million? and that was a record at the time. Yeah. Anywhere. I think it was a world record at the time for a lottery. Don't get me wrong. Nobody in the U.S. will ever win $300 million and keep $300 million. You don't get it. You either pay
30% taxes. 30% is gone.
You get it over time and a bunch of it's gone, or you get the maximum amount gone and can take the rest right now and then not have to pay tax on what you have left. So if you, you know, I mean, you get to what, 160 million, which who the hell wouldn't want to take that anyways, you know, I'd be, give it to me. But yeah. Then again, I don't know why people say that either. Because if $300 million and they're going to pay you for the next 25 years monthly, if that's a lot of money you'd be getting every month, what would you ever want for? Yeah. You know, it's like 6 months down the road, you'd be like, holy shit, I got how much in the bank? I mean, right? And that's after your taxes.
Yeah, I think people just want to get it and be done with it, you know, because they want to be able to take whatever they have and invest it, because they could probably make more if they invested it correctly.
For smart people that know what they're doing, yes. But yeah. Anyways, we'll move on from that because that's way off our topic for today. Yeah. Was there something else we wanted to mention? No, it wasn't anything about that. So just moving on to another smaller topic, although it could be a big deal for some people, is the AI editing tools that you get in Google Photos if you're a Pixel owner, or I believe if you pay for Google One, at least a, I don't know. I can't remember what tier.
Well, the 2 terabyte plan gets you unlimited. Below the 2 terabyte, remember, it's you get 10 saves or edits.
Well, no, that's what they're announcing now. That didn't exist before. You didn't get anything up until they do this. This is what we're saying.
Right.
So at this point right now, if you don't have a Pixel, you get either nothing or you have to go with Google One, and then you can get some of the photo, but not all of them. All of the photo editing features are available. Like Magic Editor doesn't exist anywhere other than a Pixel. Although another version of it, arguably even better, does exist on the Samsung Galaxy S24. And I believe they brought it to the S23, did they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the One UI.
There's some, it's not quite as, you know, powerful or whatever you want to call it as the S24, but they did... with the new 6.1 One UI update,
right,
it became available.
Yeah, so basically Pixels and latest Pixels, Pixel 7 series, Pixel 8 series, S23 and S24 series phones, or at least the Ultra versions and the Pro versions. And they have that kind of stuff. So everyone else, though, as of May, I believe you have the number written down, the date. Or memorized.
Yeah, it was May 15th or 17th.
One of those dates, somewhere in May, roughly around the middle of May 15th, actually, you're right. May 15th, all of these features will be available to basically any Android user who has Google Photos. iOS, actually, I believe it specifically mentions as well. So iOS users will be able to do that as well. But again, you will have to have Google One in the premium tier, 2 terabytes, in order to get an unlimited amount of Magic Editor saves. Now, that doesn't mean everything else isn't included if you have it, because there are a lot of other editing features that will just blow your mind away once you actually see them. Some of them are, you know, not all that great, but they're really fun to play with when you first get them. And some people like these things more than others. Magic Eraser was fantastic out of the gate, but it always left a little to be desired. You're like, well, that looks really cool. But Magic Editor has an erase feature, and it does a much better job because it fully uses AI. It doesn't just interpolate the pixels behind the scenes. It uses AI and will often fill. You've tried it on yours by now, I'm hoping?
Yes, I have. It is different, but I don't really use it a whole lot. So it's, you know, it was just like, let me say, remove this tree, you know, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
it's more of a fun feature than anything else, but it's also kind of cool because if you do get pictures, let's say of your kids or grandkids or nephews or nieces or whatever, and you're on the beach and there's just way too many people bouncing in the background, that is a distraction because those bigger people 30 feet further back look like the same size as your tiny little kids. So you can erase those people in the background and it's beach, so the sand isn't going to look weird when it fixes it. It might even fill it in if it's like in a park. It'll actually put a tree or a bush or a fence in its place.
Most use for that magic eraser function, regardless of which method it was, is if I'm on vacation and I take a bunch of pictures, because nine times out of 10, there's other people on vacation taking pictures, and they're going to be in your shot. So it's nice to be able to have the ability. And I've used it quite a bit on some vacation pictures. So
That's exactly next week,
vacation's coming up. It'll be interesting to see how much better it does work, because I'm sure I'll end up using it. One thing that's really cool about the Samsung, and I don't know how the Google Pixel works, is you're able to use the I forget what they call it, but you basically like circle an object and you can long press it and it allows you to move the object around in the picture, right? Well, you can actually copy that, open a new picture, and then paste that into the other picture. So I can
Google doesn't do that. Yeah. Google doesn't do that. Samsung went up to Google on that one. It's Google's software. And I mean, they basically took it, enhanced it with Google's permission. But Google, for some reason, has not added that. Although I would be willing to bet, my back molars that the Pixel 9 will actually add that type of thing into it.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Since they're now basically opening it up, Samsung and Google are both basically saying all this exclusive stuff is going to be available for all these other phones. So next year's phones will obviously have other exclusivities. And some of the things that Google just basically said, go ahead, Samsung, one up us. You got the newest phone. We're going to go do the same thing come October. So
I can see it being useful.
Well, yeah.
I can see it being useful because, like, when we were in the Bahamas last year, and you take a picture of this nice sunset, I didn't have anybody to take a picture of us in, with the sunset behind us. I could have cropped me and my wife out and put us in the sunset.
I mean, the best I've been able to do, of course, is to resize and move them around. I had two people in a picture and I was dissatisfied with the level of detail that showed up for the people, whereas the actual landscape itself looked pretty cool. And it wasn't a wonderful shot without the people, though. But I thought, what if they were a little bit further away and the beach and the water go on an angle, kind of, like this, into the background, and then there's the end of the beach where the trees meet and the cliff starts, and it comes in like this before it opens up to a peninsula in the background at the edge of the water going that way. I thought, what if these people were further back right at that peninsula and the eye went right there anyways? So I did exactly that. I did the long press thing in Magic Editor, and I shrunk them down and put them further back. And because I'm making them smaller, you can't see any of the anomalies, and you cannot tell where I moved them from because it's sand. And so when it interpolates that, exactly. It's very easy. So it's a cool shot. Yeah. But anywho. So that's just that little bit of news. Wanted to bring that up because even though that's not until May, that is, it's going to be a big deal for some people. And it's nice to know that you have the choice of being able to use the type of photo editor that you want to use, the photo storage and video storage that you want to use, and be able to get all this without having to go with a specific brand. So for people who are loyal to a different brand or not loyal or to any brand and just want to take whatever works right now, that's what you want. You want, I was going to say an LG, but good luck with that one, right? why don't I just say
HTC? I'm glad to see them give it out to more people.
There's no options anymore. What am I saying? Wait a minute. Is there a Motorola?
There is still Motorola.
There's still
Motorola. And there's actually a Sony, too.
Or you can get a
TCL. They still do the Xperia line.
Did you know you can get a TCL phone?
No, I didn't.
TCL sells about at least a few models. And they're actually not bad. They're not bad. They're all budget phones, obviously, and they're not bad. But then again, TCL sells marvelous TVs at a budget price. So I would expect that they could do the same thing with a phone. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't buy it with your money. I want my Pixel. And if I wasn't going to have a Pixel, I'd have a S20 whatever, you know. And if I was, you know, really, really drunk, I might get an iPhone one day if I'm dying and that's the only thing available. I don't have a problem with iPhone users. We jest a lot about that. We do. But I own an iPad.
I tell people all the time, look, the Apple hardware is fantastic hardware.
It is.
I just don't like their restrictive ecosystem, period.
I don't either. But I'm going to be honest with you. Both Google and Samsung are starting to get a little more restrictive lately. Nothing like Apple, at least not yet, but kind of. But here's the thing. The whole thing with the EU and various other things and some stuff going on in the US as well are forcing Apple to be a little bit more open. And it is making it better. And let's segue that right into the whole thing about AirTags versus we wish we had something in Android as good as AirTags. It's coming. You want to bring that one up?
Yeah. So they have the new Find My Device network that they're putting out. And they talked about it for what, a year, year and a half or something, you know, talked about
almost a year ago to the date, to be honest with
you. Yeah. So, but what's nice to see is, I almost said Chipotle. That's food.
I've done that several times today while reading it.
they're coming out with specifically Find My Device capable tags. That's kind of like
there's another brand too. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, I thought that was the only brand.
There is a second one. I just can't remember what it is, and for some reason I didn't save that information.
It's Pebblebee. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I got the article pulled up right here. It's the Chipolo and Pebblebee. I've never heard of Pebblebee. Have you?
I have not. No. But here's the interesting thing is apparently, and I can't seem to find that article. You might be able to look that up a little quicker than me because you have both phone and a computer available to you in front of you right now. But Tile is apparently not going to make an Android Find My Device network capable Tile, which is really mind boggling considering they are the only major player outside of Samsung for Android. And really the only one that you could use at this very day, unless you own a Samsung.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so surprising. I didn't know that. That's very surprising.
Be the first ones to jump on board and say, yeah, let's go do that. In fact, I thought they would find a way to include whatever. They must have a totally different type of network that they use, but it doesn't make any sense because it's not really. It's a network on the phones, but the way theirs works is strictly Bluetooth. So if you can't talk to another device, you ain't going to find it. You might know where it might have been, and if you get close, there's got to be at least a couple other devices that have Bluetooth on in order to find it. Samsung's is way more robust than that, of course. And obviously AirTags, you know, works perfectly fine because any amount of Bluetooth anywhere, and it's going to say, hey, my AirTag is over here. Go 2 feet to the right and you'll find it somewhere in this area. But it's another thing, but I'm looking forward to that because I've always wanted to have the tags on some of my things. Like when I get expensive camera equipment again one day, I definitely want to have AirTag equivalents on all of the bags and attached to each and every camera or lens bag that I have. I would like to have one on my keys even. You know, honestly, I will put one on my car. I'm not kidding. I'll put one on my car. Although it won't work as well if it's on the move, like on the freeway, or if at all. But because you really do need GPS if something moving that fast. But sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say.
No, that's okay. I was just saying that I imagine that, you know, Samsung has had their SmartThing, you know, Find for a long time. I've had, and being that all my devices are now Samsung, it works really, really well. And I have a smart tag, and I actually used it because I just wanted to see how well it would ping on our vacation last year. And I was able to track the bag almost step by step. It worked actually very, very well.
Yeah,
and I imagine their tag too is probably going to be capable of like a software update or something to put it into that Android ecosystem.
That might be possible. I think one thing Samsung does want to do is get into that, because Samsung is included in that whole consortium of getting that together. They're part of it, and they wanted to do it too. And let's face it, if they do that, there's a lot of people that are just going to buy. I'm going to buy the Samsung one because I trust it. And quite frankly, if I had a choice right now of this Pebble something or other or a Samsung one that worked with the network, I'd choose the Samsung one because, you know.
Yeah.
Just for me, it would. But in all honesty, I've thought about buying Tile so many times, and I've always stopped short because everything I've ever read about them basically tells me that you can use it to find stuff, but it's kind of not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, it's like turning off your phone and trying to ping where you last knew it was half the time. I can't speak from experience, but I do know that when you're just looking for your phone, whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone, your Find My Device natively works off the network brilliantly. I've had a friend who had lost his phone, and he managed to get a hold of me via, I think he had a secondary phone, but he had to use internet calling to call me. And he phones me, and apparently he had dropped his phone. He was walking home a little bit, you know, a few sheets to the wind, and slipped and fell. And unbeknownst to me, he didn't tell me this at the time, he had actually only got up when the ambulance and paramedics picked him up off the, you know, made sure he was okay and made sure he got home. But in all of that, he didn't realize that his phone had fallen somewhere, and it was icy. So when we finally went back, we pinged the area, but we couldn't ping it anymore. It died before I could get there with my car. So it was like, hey, here's where it is.
Doesn't have like a last known, like this last place it was pinged. Like
basically, yes. So we basically had to go and just kind of look. And he told me, this is where I fell. I don't really remember that. I only remember them picking me up. And I said, well, then it probably slid up this guy's driveway. He said, what do you mean slid up? He says, you don't understand how ice works in Canada. I'm kidding.
You have backward ice?
Yeah. We're so used to the ice, we go uphill on it.
I see.
No, but seriously, if you drop your phone on it, it hits a driveway, it can go up and then hit a dry spot and not come back down, right? So I said, we should be looking under these people's cars and their driveways. And there was one house that was a few feet from where he said he was picked up. So I looked under, and sure enough, the damn phone was there. But here's the funny thing about it. It started pinging right about the time I was bending down to get it, because it wasn't actually off. I don't know what the hell caused it to, like, maybe it turned itself off and back on again. I have no idea. But it started pinging right about the time I bent down, and I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. So we would have found it one way or the other anyways, but had we waited any longer, the guy would have drove over it because it was under the wheel. Yeah. So he got lucky. And just for the record, that phone used to be mine. It was, I sold him the phone about 3 months earlier. It was my old Nexus 6P, or not 6P, 6, the big giant.
Yeah. I did a little Googling, and unfortunately I'm wrong. The software in the smart tag or the smart tag 2 is not capable of being on the Google Find device network, but it does say that they are expanding their ecosystem. So
yes.
With as much integration as Google and Samsung have with all their devices,
yeah,
you know, they're going to come out with a Find My Device capable, you know, tag or something.
Right. Rumor also has it that Google is going to be grain of salt. Right. Rumor has it Google will also be coming out with their own tag system, their actual physical tags.
It wouldn't surprise me. It'll be out for a year and then they'll kill it.
No, it won't. 3 months.
3 months. Wow, you went through.
Okay. 3 months.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, whether they do or not is actually not even really that important, because I mean, of all the things you need to have to be actual Google products, to be honest with you, the tag is the least of it, because it's not like it's going to work better if it's made by Google, because the actual idea behind the entire network is that anyone that actually adopts the technology for that network, it works. So as soon as Samsung does theirs, it will. This Pebble Bee, whatever you called it.
Pebble Bee, I've never
heard of that. That one will just work right out of the gate. Everything's fine with that. But I imagine some of these things are going to be insanely overly priced at first. They should be acting like everybody wants it, so let's jack the price up.
Well, like that Pebble Bee is like $20.
Kind of like when you're heading out on the road on vacation and the gas station at the edge of town going out of the city is twice as expensive as the one coming back. You know, if you're coming back, you're like, well, screw it, I'll make it home, right? If you're on your way out, you're like, no, I need the gas now because I'm driving 1,000 miles. Yeah. I mean, generally, if I go on long road trips that are like a day, 8 hours or something, I always fill up the second I get out of town. I mean, I start with a full tank, but the first town I come to outside of town, which is basically just past the subs, I stop and I get gas regardless of the price. It's only, you know, another $5 or $10 or whatever it is that you use to get out of city. And I'm 100% full and I can go further. Less problems.
Yeah.
I don't know. That
a note on the tile. My son-in-law actually has a tile, and it just occurred to me when you said that. And he left his wallet in his car thinking he had lost it, and his tile wasn't working. He couldn't ping the tile. Now the battery might just be dead because he's not too conscientious about keeping track of like battery levels, because you do have to charge them. I mean, they don't last forever. Right. And he's had it for probably a year. Like, I just happened to notice when I was looking at my Samsung Find network that my smart tag is low battery. So I'm going to have to go hunt it down and swap the battery in it. But he's not too keen about keeping up with the battery levels. So it could just be the battery's dead. But in addition to that, I know when he was first setting it up, he had issues with the Bluetooth connectivity, and it just didn't ever seem to work right. I personally have had a couple of tile things, and I've never had them actually work very well personally. But
so I made the right decision in not spending money on it.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, basically I wouldn't have had a lot of choices anyways, but at least for the future, I will have choices. I'll be able to get that stuff done. And, you know, kind of a side note, this year, and I don't know why, I guess I'm like Rachel from Friends. Everyone made fun of her for not having renter's insurance. I've gone years without renter's insurance, and I don't own my rent. And that is just the dumbest thing in the world. Honestly, you should have renter's insurance if you own more than just your clothes.
Yeah.
Even if that's all you own. Because most renter's insurance, a lot of people think, okay, oh, it's going to cover my computer. It's going to cover my PS5 or 4 or whatever I own, or my TV. Whoop-dee-doo, right? Not everybody has $10,000 worth of camera equipment or a set of drums in their basement or whatever it is they own. But there's the limitation that they pay up to is usually pretty high for a moderate amount that you pay. And you can usually bundle that with your home and or auto insurance and get sometimes massive discounts on the whole thing. And for me, it's costing me less money to have renter's insurance and auto insurance than it costs me just for my auto insurance. So big tip, do that if you don't have it. And bundle it. So you have to do it as the same insurance agent. And you know what? If you don't even have an insurance agent, don't worry about it. Go get a, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? I have to forget that while we're recording. you know, the person you go to, and they talk, they see all of the other places. A broker.
That's an Oh, broker. Okay, yeah. See, we don't really have brokers here, so
that must be you don't have brokers. Brokers are bigger in the States than they are in Canada.
I don't know. I mean, I may just because I never use one. I just always go to insurance company or agent. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you have a good insurance company, you're happy with it. Fantastic. But for somebody who doesn't really understand it as much, doesn't know it, or maybe you don't have enough money to get all the big premium plans for everything you need, go to a broker. They'll find you the best possible deals, best possible insurance. I had an issue with mine and I called the broker. Broker spent the whole day working it out for me, called me back and said, "We solved the problem. Don't worry about it." Now, how do I go through that? I don't know how to correct it, for starters. Even if I did, I still have to fight with them myself, hours and hours and hours on the phone. They did it for me. And then I called them instead of the agent and said, "I'm thinking about getting renter's insurance." They explained everything to me, worked it all out. And then the agent, the insurance company, sends me all the paperwork and everything's hunky-dory fine. So I'm fully insured. So basically, the bottom line is I threw that in just for the heck of it. As we were talking about other stuff, get renter's insurance, cover everything, cover your phones. It doesn't have to be stuff burns down in your house or is burglarized.
I feel like we just did a commercial break for your phones.
I know. If you lose your phone or it's stolen or something while you're on vacation, most plans, not all, so check it out, make sure you get the right one, will actually cover your cell phone if it gets stolen or lost while you're on vacation away from home. So
wait, you forgot this segment brought to you by your Temu. Local broker.
No, Temu. I'm just kidding. I only said that because it just popped up on my computer. Shop like a billionaire.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay. So Find My Device Network, not up and running yet. Supposed to be. Not that it matters. There's not a lot you can do with it except for that one tag that I still don't even know how to get my hands on it or how much it would cost. But it's not.
But if you're already in the Samsung ecosystem, you already have it. You don't need it.
Well, technically for Samsung, yeah, but it doesn't. That's not going to help you for anything that isn't a Samsung.
No, that's why I said if you're in the Samsung ecosystem, if you have Samsung devices, like my wife, me, we all have Samsung devices. I wouldn't necessarily need to use.
I mean, you're fine. It's just like, but that's the same thing as Apple. I mean, but the thing about it is what I'm saying is that if you have anything else, or if you have more than one thing, keep in mind that Google's will work with all Android phones, right? Well, newer ones anyways. I know all Android phones, actually. So you won't have to worry about that. So your Samsungs will work with it too. Anything you buy electronically, my Pixel Buds Pro, they're on my Find My Device thing already, so the new network, they'll just work perfectly fine. Right now these just show as off. It technically knows where they were last, but it's not quite the same thing. I'm not sure exactly how much more robust the network is that it can figure it out. I think when it's about to die, it actually maybe takes a snapshot of the closest location that it can give you. Right now this only knows I'm within the Wi-Fi network of my home, which could be anywhere from 50 feet outside my house to the basement, right?
But well, here's something interesting. I just happened to notice, I was closing this page out, JBL, that they have Tour Pro 2, Tour 1 M2 are compatible, and a Sony WH-1000XM5 headphones are also compatible.
Yes. There you go. That's nice. So that's really good because, I mean, you know what? Bigger headphones are different. It's hard to lose something like this, for instance, but this, especially if you've got them outside of the case, which some people don't, you know, they'll take them out, put them in the ears, and they'll take them out. They don't put them back in the case. They just put them down and they, you know, they're like, they end up under the couch cushions or something. The thing about it is that the new network should be able to find these. Right now, as far as I know, this will only find the case and the buds, or the buds out of the case. Or the buds out of the case and the case. I don't think that it is actually as robust enough to find each earbud individually. And I'm pretty sure Apple AirPods, at least their more expensive ones, they can actually do that with their Find My stuff.
Interesting. I didn't know that, but you know, the thing is that becomes a tracker for your backpack because you know how many times you put in your earbuds in your backpack.
You know, well, for people who do, I might know always in my pocket. But that's a really good point. I mean, you could literally, especially with something like this, because all these new ones have, you know, the battery in it to charge them. Especially if you're starting out, you know, new, the earbuds still have a full charge. The pack has a full charge. You've got a day or two if you're not using them much. If you're using them a lot, you might only have a few hours. But still, point is if there's charge in that pack, even if you've got the earbuds in your ear, it should be able to find the pack. I don't know if it does it now, but the next version should be able to find both the pack and the earbuds individually. So, but for now, it's just nice that you can. And I'm not sure where else we were going with this. We mentioned a few things that we wanted to get. Oh yeah. No, sorry. I do know. it's a satellite connectivity, in Google Messages, apparently, so far, this is just conjecture, may possibly work for more than just emergency messages. I mean, it's obviously not going to be RCS messages, you know, sending people TikTok videos or anything, but you should send a text to somebody. I'm out of coverage, text only in satellite coverage right now. I'll be home in 7 hours if a rock slide doesn't kill me first. You know, that's the kind of thing you can do when they launch it, hopefully. I'm actually looking forward to that because there are a couple of spots that I go to in the summer sometimes to get nice pictures, and it's very spotty. And if it does work like this, it should mean I could actually completely cut that data off and just rely on the satellite in order to get my emergency messages out.
Well, the thing is that I think that has a huge, I didn't even know that. I think that has a huge benefit for hikers and, you know, outdoors people that, because people still, for whatever reason, I would never do it. People still go out by themselves, you know, and
I do.
How many times, you know, they get hurt and now they have no way of communicating with anybody. So that's a pretty big feature. I like that.
I don't get hurt when I go out, but again, you know, that could be just sheer luck. I mean, a lot of it is paying attention. A lot of it is I don't go out drunk.
But anything can happen. I mean, you slip on a wet rock.
I don't generally go beyond what is my skill level of, like, I went into an area that was basically forced me to have to rock climb, to continue. And to be honest with you, I could have gone further because there is a certain level of skill that I can do it, but I actually had to stop myself. And as I look back retroactively now to last July when I went, I was really, really getting way more tired climbing back up. And where I noticed it wasn't a long spot or really steep. It was only about 12 feet to climb. And not on a massive angle, just some boulders to climb over. And I was so winded, I had to actually take a break. And as I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the hell? And as I look back at it now, with the health issues that I've been having recently, that is probably the first time that actually popped up. And it's obviously gotten worse since then. But I didn't think of it. I just thought I was out of shape. And I didn't think anything of it. I just figured, okay, well, I guess I got to start, you know, walking more and doing more stuff, getting more active. And turns out I was wrong.
Yeah.
Probably should have just went to a doctor that day. But nonetheless, it's all good. I got a specialist appointment. We won't get into all my health stuff in here right now. But everything's working out. I'm feeling a lot better now. So anyways, the satellite connectivity is a huge, huge thing. iPhone, well, at least the 15, I think, I'm not sure which, I don't remember how many of them do it, but your newer iPhones have, or at least the upper versions of them, have the satellite connectivity for emergencies. And I don't remember, but doesn't Samsung S24 do that too, or...
I think it does. I think I remember reading something about it, but I don't obviously have the 24 right now, so I don't really know.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, because what I would like to actually see is governments mandate that all phones have to have it, because it makes no sense to not. They don't have to make it so that you can text whenever you want for money or free, right? Either way.
Yeah.
But they should mandate that it's automatically available. So if the infrastructure is completely gone, or you've fallen off a cliff, or whatever, while hiking,
yeah,
then you can do it. And keep in mind, if you have a phone that has fall detection, like I'm sure, I think yours does it not?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, mine does. Newer iPhones do. You have that fall detection, and you if you don't have the network, it would still text via the satellite. So you would still
it would
ping your location accurately, because it's a freaking satellite.
Well, natural disaster. You know, if you have a tornado comes through and it tears down, you know, all the cell phone infrastructure.
It could happen. And it has happened.
And yeah. So that would be another, you know, nice fallback.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will be inundated with people trying to text out, and they won't be able to handle it. And say, you don't understand. They don't all necessarily go to the same satellite at the same time. First of all, for the satellite idea to work, it has to work with a GPS system to know where it is. Otherwise, what's the point of it using it as an emergency? Because you don't know where you are when you fell off a cliff and broke your leg. Well, I was in the hiking in the mountains. I don't know the name of the mountain. Right. So there's at least three pointing at you at any time. And if you look at your phone and use any of those apps that find you know, the satellites, or any app that's built into the phone, that'll show you how many satellites you're actually connected to for whatever reason, GPS or something else. Things like the Torx app that show you the speed, they have to show you how many satellites you're actually connected to. I've had my phone connected over to over 54 at once. 54.
The GPS satellite infrastructure in space is huge. I mean,
I'm surprised you can even get to space anymore. There's like a wall of satellites.
I know.
I mean, imagine if they all rained down at the same time, it would be hell on Earth. We could go on and on about that, but we won't. So the infrastructure is not something they have to build up. It's just something they have to put in the phones, and then work out with whatever companies. In this particular case, they're mentioning T-Mobile and Starlink, which makes you wonder, what about Canada? We don't use either one of them, and they don't have coverage here. Well, Elon Musk does. So that's possible, right? They can make something. But there's also other satellites here as well. And, of course, there's the satellites that all of the major communications company in Canada have access to as well, because of their programming and their communication needs, as well as ground needs. And it's the other thing. You may need the satellite and have to use it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to have a line all the way to where you're texting to, because when it comes back down, it's going to end up in a lot of microwaves and back in the cellular system.
Do you remember back when Sprint was still a company and they had those push to talk walkie talkie phones that like a lot of businesses use them to communicate within the business?
Wait, is that Nextel or Nextel the Canadian one? I don't remember which is which. Same thing.
It might have been the Canadian one. I don't know. I know Sprint had that capability.
It was
IDIN. No longer. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was IDIN for Sprint, wasn't it? Small IDEN.
I don't know. It's been so long. I just remember the phone and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, actually, I thought we're a pretty good feature, honestly.
It was. But the interesting thing about it is that the original thing with it is it was basically a radio. It was not much different than the radio cops use. I mean, and at the time, because technology was so, you know, in its infancy in that age, it was a huge thing for businesses to be able to use that. So a lot of trucking companies used them, logistics companies, landscapers. If they had a big company, landscaping company, they would use them.
Right.
And it was big in Canada and the States. Other two different brand names using the same network, basically. There was a second network that worked differently. And I don't remember which one was which in the States that didn't work in Canada.
Well, it was a nice way for businesses, like if you're a construction company, to not, because that was back in the day when you didn't have unlimited, you know, talking and texting. You had to pay for every minute, and which was, you know, looking back, it's like, man, that was ridiculous.
39.
And so it saved the company a lot of money because they just used the radio walkie talkie feature, and they didn't have to use the cell phone minute. So I thought it was genius.
Honestly. Yeah. $39.99 got me 500 minutes of local talk time. $1.50 a minute for long distance.
Yeah. I remember the first few cell phones I had. There's a couple like, oh my gosh, I talked way too much last month. It's like a $500 cell phone bill.
Dude, my first cell phone was a brick phone. And the plan was like $29.95 or something like that. It included nothing. It was 50 cents a minute, period. Yeah. 35 cents a minute.
It's like, hello?
hang on, 35 cents a minute in the evening and only 10 cents a minute from 9 p.m. to 9 or to 7 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
I spent most of my time talking on it during the day and never paid the bill.
And you're watching your watch. Okay. All right. Listen up quick.
No, I didn't watch my watch. That's the problem. I never paid the bill. I didn't have the money for that. But I don't know why I kept using it like that. I was young. I mean, this was 1993 or something like that. I mean, brick phones were old at the time, but that's what my first phone was. You know, a couple
of years. I remember my first StarTAC. That was the coolest phone. The StarTAC, the Motorola StarTAC.
StarTAC came a couple of years after that.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest phone. Everybody had one. Everybody had one. You got to have a StarTAC.
I did end up getting a StarTAC, but years later, they were like an old commodity at that point. But I was like, I finally got one. I only used it for like 3 months and I moved on to something else because there was no practicality anymore. But that's what the thing is. Phones kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I actually said to people, and I was selling phones at Rogers in Canada. And I was telling people, the phones are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But when they get down to the point where they're like this, they're going to start getting bigger. And you're going to end up seeing a bunch of phones that look like you're going to hold them like that. And I said, why? I said, because you'll be able to actually see more on the screen. And you'll be able to hold it to your face. I wasn't even thinking about the possibility of how a smartphone was going to look. I thought they were going to look like that Nokia thing, the one that flipped open and had a keyboard. I thought that was where we were going, right? Until all of a sudden, Apple comes up and says, hey, there's the iPhone. And we're like,
oh my gosh, my first phone like that. You remember the Kyoceras? The Kyocera had one like that flipped open, had a keypad. It was my first cell phone that I could use data on. Like connecting to a computer, that they just allowed that functionality without having special, you know, hack cables and everything. And I thought that was the coolest thing.
What's that?
My Kyocera
9110 or something like that. I think it was.
I don't remember. It was, it was funny.
And you actually, like the whole phone flipped up. Oops, you can't see it. It went up like that. And then the keyboard, you just hold it up and use the keyboard like that. And it's
mine was long ways. Basically, so it was different.
It was more than an organizer. It did more than an organizer because obviously you could use the phone and you could send and receive email on it. And this is technically before what we think of as smartphones. It was a PDA that had a phone in it rather than a phone that had a PDA. A phone that had a PDA rather than a PDA that had a phone. This is way before BlackBerry, right? Speaking of which, by the way, I know we're going way off topic, but we only got a few minutes left anyways. I had one of the first BlackBerries. I want to say the first, but I think I actually had the second version of it based on something I saw on the internet a few days back. But it actually said RIM on it. Didn't say BlackBerry.
That's old school.
RIM BlackBerry, and it was just a two-way pager. That was it. Basically,
there's a lot of people probably don't even know what RIM is. That's not even
research in motion. It was a Canadian.
No, company. I know, but that's a lot of people don't even know. They just know it's BlackBerry.
Well, yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying it. The Canadian company based out of Waterloo was incredibly successful until they just couldn't keep up with Android. It wasn't Apple that killed them. It was Android because they tried to compete with Android. They should have tried to compete with Apple, to be quite frank with you. They were trying to do things to stay in line with what Android was capable of doing, but they had technically a closed ecosystem. They should have competed with Apple and they would have survived. And they were huge. I mean, if you remember, President Obama was sworn in and said, can we make some kind of concession? I don't want to give up my BlackBerry. At the time, you weren't allowed to. You had to give up a phone because data was a thing. They weren't just like old-fashioned phones, right? Yeah. They had to make sure it was secure. But once it was proven by BlackBerry and Obama's staff that it was the most secure phone on the planet by a long shot.
It was.
At the time, by
a pain in the butt, and I hated them. But yeah, they were.
By today's standards, it's not that secure.
Right. Yeah. But everything has encryption now, and it's all
Back then, if you weren't the user of the phone, you weren't getting in without the user's permission. And if you were talking BlackBerry to BlackBerry, they had end-to-end encryption. Who the hell knew that was a thing back then? Keep in mind, Obama left. When did he leave office? That was a while ago. This was his first term before he was actually sworn in, actually. He had been elected, but he hasn't yet sworn in. So he was still just a president-elect. And he said, I need to keep my BlackBerry. And they made the arrangements. Yeah. And he held that BlackBerry at least for the first term. I think he might have had it for maybe not the same one. But I think
he still got it. It's probably in his
owns it.
Yeah, it's in his all those when the president, you know, they get out of office and they take all their stuff and they build themselves a museum and
I gotta look at the time. Okay, yeah, we're gonna have to start thinking about saying goodbye to everything today.
Well, I think we covered as he would have covered, so we're good.
Yeah, we kind of flew a little bit more all over the place on this one, but we just wanted to sort of get in whatever was most relevant for right now for the last several days and what will still be relevant for next few days at least. Next week, I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure there's a little bit more news coming out.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Different areas. Always.
Always. Always. Always new news.
What's that?
Always new news.
Always new news. Who knew about the new news? All right. Well, I'm Lionel McClintock. I'm in Canada.
I'm Robert from the U.S. And we'll see you next episode.
All right. Take it easy.